be in a house of friendship and encouragement. And yeah, just want to send my, Lisa sends her greetings to everyone as well. She definitely says hello and misses everyone. I know she's watching and says she wishes she could give some hugs here too. So I guess if I back up and I start with too much of maybe how I got to be from spending most of my time at the backside of a cow to living in a rice growing valley of Haiti, I might get a little long. But you know, as far as just the opportunity to come take the visit, we'd been kicking it around for a little while. And of course, you say, well, you know, plane tickets go up. The closer you wait, the more plane tickets go up. And we say, yeah, but what about the logistics of getting out of here and getting back in and those kind of things? Basically, the situation in Haiti from a world perspective isn't great right now. There's a lot of unrest. It's only 500 miles off the shores of Florida, but it doesn't make the news. You'll hear a lot in the U.S., I don't believe, unless maybe the Miami Herald. Most of the time you read an article about Haiti and it starts out, Haiti, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and some tragic story of natural disaster or something. Right now, basically, if you're not familiar with Haiti, it shares the island with the Dominican Republic, basically between Cuba and Puerto Rico, about 11 million souls on the Haiti side of the island. In French-speaking, or in reality, Haitian Creole-speaking, both are official languages. It goes back to, for those that watch Pirates of the Caribbean, Tortuga is a real island on the northwest coast of Haiti. And those stories, of course, Pirates was the English story, the French, all the various European colonial powers were there. 1803, Haitians won a really long civil war against Napoleon's forces and became an independent nation. Come forward 200 years, and there's still a lot of physical struggle, a lot of dysfunction, shall we say. Right now, there's no president. The president was assassinated last July. Parliament is not functioning. There's not enough elected members. They didn't pass an election law to re-elect themselves. So there's not enough re-elected members of parliament to have a quorum there. The courts essentially aren't functioning. Police department is underpaid, under-equipped, and usually not. Military currently consists of about 500 guys, mostly trained as engineers in flood control. So given previous military coups and problems, the military was downsized. And really is kind of needed at the moment. But that's kind of where Haiti is. Fuel shortages are pretty common right now. No gas today, no diesel today. Try a few hours away or come back next week, maybe. It's kind of just the status quo. It happens every year around New Year's, tend to run short, but it's been more of a ongoing chronic problem. Seeing kidnappings rise, kidnappings for ransom, grabbing pediatricians, aid workers, street-side sausage vendors, anybody that somebody's willing to pay a buck for, basically, as a way of making money. There's a lot of gang activity right now. As some of you know, back in last September, there was an earthquake on the Southern Peninsula. The Southern Peninsula has basically been cut off from the capital by gang activity for the last year. And more recently, the roads to the north, to the central part and the north, have been becoming a problem too. Roadblocks, when there's roadblocks, you might encounter trees, huge piles of rocks, burning tires, angry people. It's hard to say what. Sometimes a lot of work goes into the roadblock over just political frustrations, local problems, those kind of things. So transportation becomes an issue. When you don't have refrigeration, transportation is even more critical. Basically, you think of something that you want at the local hardware store that you want to run down to Williams or Lowe's for. Generally, the answer is you might find it in, the equivalent answer is you might find it at the store in Syracuse. Look there. And that's kind of just the way life is. Capital is pretty central to life in all the provinces. You know, on the way in, I left the day before my flight because you can't necessarily plan on getting to the airport on time. It's about 75 miles, I believe, to the airport. I figure 4 hours, basically, for the trip. And we got through there's some local stuff that was closing the roads overnight. Didn't want to make sure that we were able to get through early the next morning. So left the day before, got through there, no problem, got a little closer to the Capitol, and something was going on. People were upset. Basically, we ended up going through one lane road through banana fields, had a little friendly chat with some locals, paid a toll, so to speak, crossed the dry riverbed, made it to Port-au-Prince. That's just kind of life in Haiti. You kind of expect those things. So lots of challenges. Challenges here, too. I mean, I watch the news sometimes, try not to. but we know that in a quote, pandemic world, there's been challenges everywhere. As far as the animals go there, you know, we can talk some other time about why animals are pretty important in Haiti, and certainly what they have to do with the Bible and what the Bible has to do with animal care. But one of the things I see just about every week is some animal, a goat or something, with a broken leg. Dry season comes along, food's hard to get to, people turn their animals completely free to go find food for themselves. Good luck, go find something to eat. They wander into somebody's garden, they find something to eat, somebody gets angry, throws a rock, swings a machete, and now a vet caregiver is supposed to fix the problem. So we all have challenges. They weren't unknown to people in the first century either. In Jesus' words, I'll read from John 17, 15 to 19, in this case for the Amplified version, "I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them and protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Set them apart for your purposes. Make them holy. Your word is truth. Just as you commissioned and sent me into the world, I also have commissioned and sent them," meaning believers, "into the world. For their sake I sanctify myself to do your will, so that they may also be sanctified," in other words, set apart, dedicated, made holy, "in your truth." So the first point we see here is that Jesus gave himself for us. John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then Paul went on to kind of clarify that for us in Romans, that Jesus died yet when we were still enemies. We hadn't even yet become friends, and he laid down his life for us. So that's point number one. The second one is certainly the absolute essential importance of the word. Your word is truth. So we have to understand the importance of the written word. And how much time did I claim belief, and yet my Bible collected dust during the week? Or sometimes it collected dust on the weekends too. It happens, but we've got to open the word. If we want to know it, we're going to have to open it. And that's so, so important. If we're going to build our faith, find strength, and certainly if we're going to grow, then we have to spend time in the word. And the written word is always going to point us to the living word, Jesus. We come to a full realization of it's critical that we come to the full realization of his love for us. And that the gospel is the outworking of his love. The gospel frees me and removes any need on my part to be overly anxious about my own self, spiritually and physically. Amen. And then the gospel brings about an ability and desire to be concerned about others. In his book, Rediscovering Jonah, Tim Keller wrote, "To the degree that you grasp what Jesus did for you and rest in the salvation he bought for us, to that degree, this pattern of substitutionary sacrifice and love will be reproduced in your relationships." and you will become the kind of person the world desperately needs. So when we were getting ready to leave for Haiti, I don't know where Pastor Bob is this morning, but we were getting ready, Pastor Bob said, always preach the cross. And, you know, that's where we see the love of Jesus for us. You know, that we see what he did for us and the love that drove that. The third point from the scripture is that God has a purpose and a vocation for us. So the difficulties, frustrations, fears arising from the world can get in the way of our vision of that sometimes. In Joshua 1, 7 to 9, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. The Creole version says, Mette garçon sous, literally translated, put your man on. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And then Jesus comes along and he repeats the commission to us. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always. I am with you always to the very end of the age. So the promise and the desire of God haven't changed. If we question the reference to the law in the Old Testament version, you know, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explained that the law was always to lead to a greater understanding of its intent, of its spirit inside our hearts and in our minds. To go back to some Keller references again, the law can show us our need for the gospel, and then, once we embrace God's salvation by faith, the law becomes the way to know, serve, and grow into the likeness of the one who saved us. Early on in Haiti, there were more nights that I laid down and prayed, Lord, help me. Just help, because I can't handle it. Thankfully, those have become less, not because I've gotten any better at handling it. Not on my own, but because of the reassurance that I don't have to handle anything on my own. He promised he'd be with us. There's a song by Phil Wickham called Heaven Song, and some of the lyrics, I want to run on greener pastures, I want to dance on higher hills, I want to drink from sweeter waters in the misty morning chill. I always, when I hear this song, I just have this vision of a hillside not too far away from here, sometime in the past, being up at the edge of the woods in the where the pasture met the woods. And I'm kneeling down running calcium into a cow with milk fever. But the grass, the mist is coming off the grass, the fog's starting to clear, the deer and wild turkeys are just going about their morning business. It's just kind of an image that always comes to me with those lyrics. But then they go on and they say, my soul is getting restless for the place where I belong. I can't wait to join the angels and sing my heaven song. And first you hear those and you're like, yeah, I want to grab that. And we should have that expectant hope. And yet then you start to say, am I being a little selfish to hasten that, to want to hasten that? You know, the other evening I was out in the woods, out back to pastor's house, and this is the earliest that I've been here in the springtime since 2017. Just being out, the sights and the sounds of the woods, and in particular the smell of the woods in the springtime, it was amazing. I saw a couple owls, fairly large one up close, some deer, the trickling water. It just one of those amazing times. And I didn't see another human being. There's no one yelling, blah, 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 which everywhere you go in Haiti, you're going to find a human. If you're out in the middle of the mountain behind, there's a human on the other side of the bush, guaranteed it. You put 11 million people in that size space, you're going to run into somebody. And blah literally means white, but in context, it tends to mean foreigner. And you know, to some days in my context, it's foreigner who doesn't really belong here. What do you have for me? Yeah. So it's just it was peaceful. it was a good walk in the woods, and I wanted to just hang out there. I'm like, I just want to hang out here. You know, we think about Peter wanted to hang out on the mountain. He wanted to build shelters and hang out in the mountain. And he's in the presence of transfigured Jesus and Moses, Elijah. I'm out there with some owls and some trees, and I'm like, yeah, I want to stay right here. How often do we do that? It happens for all of us. To go back to another song, that more recent song, The Commission by the family Cain, some of the words go on to say, where I go, you will go too one day, but there's much to do here before you leave. So we need to not miss what he has for us. It's not about the going, but the understanding of his love, and just allowing that to affect us however it will. You know, this morning is sitting outside again, and just it was one of those mornings where you can feel the renewing vitality that God put in the sunshine.
Yeah.
And sometimes, or at least for me, sometimes you feel that. Some days, maybe not so much, but we need to remember those times we do. And that was my prayer, is just let me soak this up so that we can carry it with us for those darker days. You know, and I know I'm probably preaching rather than reporting. It's just some of the things God's been impressing on me. And some of the things that kind of keeps getting pressed on me. And, you know, many times in missions, especially you go into an area of immense, immense need, very physically poor conditions, and we go in with the principle, give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. And then in our modern culture, we like to attach that buzzword sustainability to that. Some of the sustainability ultimately comes down to how or by whom is the bait and tackle going to continue to be supplied. So in reality, maybe a better maxim is you can lead a horse to water, but only God Almighty can make him drink. There's really nothing better or longer lasting than we can give than the Word of God and encouragement in that. What's God up to in Haiti? Well, he's there walking through a big mess with his faithful. Same thing he's doing here, walking with his faithful. You know, when in the third world, you tend to get tempted to look at what we call the developed world as an example of what works. How much are we living in the afterglow of Christian foundations? You know, so many are still seeking and expecting the blessing, but want to deny the blessing giver. So we have to look to the blessing giver. It's pretty humbling. You go to a Haitian birthday celebration and just watch folks go around the room and verbally give thanks for another year. I've been here another year. I'm not dead. I haven't lost an arm or a leg. I haven't had a major tragedy this year. And the audible thanksgiving for that. You know, how much do we take for granted? And it's really easy to do. So God's provided the resources and relative local stability in our area. You know, some areas are tougher in Haiti than others. You got to use a little wisdom in terms of where to go and when. But he's allowed us to stay there, and he's continued to meet our needs that we can be there. And sometimes the testimony that at least somebody kind of reflects back to me in what they say is, gosh, we've noticed that you've stayed here during the stressful times. Aren't you worried? Aren't you scared? A lot of people have left, don't you know? And I think sometimes that's the best testimony we can give. But he's always made a way when it seemed impossible. You know, the first time Lisa ever drove by herself to go to the grocery store, she had some understandable anxiety about getting into the bigger town, finding a place to park. It was a weekday, lots of business and traffic going on. And you know, she went in. She said it was like the streets cleared, like there was no traffic, and then there was no crowd, no craziness in parking in front of the store. It was just an amazing miracle. I mean, it really is. It was miraculous in Haiti. It doesn't happen. And it hasn't happened again. These days, she doesn't drive by herself anymore. You know, when we came home for a visit in 2019, we went through 80, she started counting, and then she stopped at 80, over 80 roadblocks between where we were at and Port-au-Prince. Some of them required a bit of negotiation. We didn't try to make that drive by ourselves. We had some help on that drive, but just he made a way.
Yeah.
I don't want to repeat that experience, but he made a way. And we said, well, you know, we're coming home for 2 weeks. All this political stuff will blow over by the time we get back. At the time, they had dubbed it Operation Country Lock. We got back, it hadn't blown over. How are we going to get three, four hours back home? He opened up a window of time. A Haitian driver that we had arranged to have drive us said, hey, there's a window. I'll be there in the morning. Be ready. We'll go. I'm not willing to go the whole way. If you got somebody who can pick you up, we'll make it happen. So he came. He starts driving out of Port-au-Prince. Lisa's praying, no roadblocks. I don't want to see any roadblocks. We see one roadblock ahead of us. He turns, we get around that roadblock. Every other roadblock that had been reported to us, including the guys that came and met us halfway, that ones that they had to go through, by the time we got to them, they were down for the day. And then pretty quickly they were back up again, but he went before us. And it's just another one of those miracles. Again, like I say, he says, don't push your luck. Don't try to do this all the time. But he was there before us. So just to come forward a little bit, January of 2020, I started sitting down with two vet agents in the morning. Sometimes we do a little informal vet training. Sometimes I'd help them go do animal clinics. Most mornings we just dove into Bible study, kind of chapter by chapter, starting in the beginning. And as that progressed, Lisa was feeling led to use, we have a couple horses in Haiti. She was feeling led to share those in some way with other kids. And one of the things that's always been on her heart is longer-term relationships, longer-term discipleship, not let's do a program, get them in, go through a program, send them off, start again. Let's build some longer-term things. So she had the idea of working up a lesson program and incorporating it into a Bible lesson program. Started with six kids. By the time the year had gone by, we noticed that while they're waiting for riding lessons to take their turn in riding lessons, there's more kids playing soccer out front than are in the program. So we said, yeah, okay. Kind of concluded that program at the end of the year and said, what are we going to do as we go forward? And it's turned into three groups playing soccer and doing a lesson once a week that came to our house. She was able to find a professional translator to get good Bible lessons translated into Creole. I can understand a lot of things if folks talk slowly, but I can still get lost pretty quickly if somebody doesn't want to be understood. But we got those translated. There's always some kind of active component tied directly to the scriptural lesson. A few months later, the one girl that had stayed in the program from the horse lessons, we were kind of feeling bad that she was all by herself, as all the rest of them were boys. We were able to add a group of girls, 10 girls that do a lesson. They don't. Sometimes they play soccer, they dance, they sing, they play games, but they come and meet once a week, and the groups have been swelling. Little bit by little, we're currently at as many as 50 or a few more boys that are coming to the house each week. And yeah, still a group of 10 girls. About a month or probably six, eight weeks ago, we kind of hit that point where, like, all right, we need to keep doing what we're doing, but we need to regroup a little bit before we allow just things to continue growing. One of the guys comes, he has a friend with him. Hey, Mr. Wayne, this is Jaylay. He needs to be in the program. He wants to play soccer, and he needs to be in the program, and he has to be in the program because he needs the Word of God. Yeah, he does. How do I argue? He's come to the program, and every week since, at least one or two of the boys bring somebody else with them to the program. About three, four weeks ago, one of them had brought a new kid. He came. He was part of it and take an active part for a couple weeks. About 2 weeks ago, he comes, and we're noticing he didn't join in soccer-wise. He's standing on the sidelines. And as it's grown, they do have to switch in and out for the space we have. But he's just standing there on the sidelines. We're like, all right, what's going on with Toto? Well, Toto's arms hurt. He hurt his arms. He had trouble getting here today. His buddy that originally invited him, he bathed him and dressed him and brought him anyways. I'm like, well, what's going on with his arms? He shows me his arms. It's pretty obvious without radiographs, there's got to be multiple fractures in these arms. I mean, what did you do? I was grabbing mangoes this week, and I fell out of the mango tree. And this is, when did you fall out of the mango tree? Thursday. You know, it's been a couple days. Here's a kid. So we were able to get him help get into the hospital because they were using tea, basically herbal medicine. It wasn't working. Have him get to the hospital, get checked out. George comes back. George. So Bell and George are the two guys that I work with most closely. George comes back, says, good news, there's only fractures, it's not broken. Because evidently in Creole, broken means it's swinging in the breeze or there's bones sticking out. Oh, good. But he needs food. Okay, we'll help with food. And George was helping get to the food. In Haiti, in the hospital, if you're in the hospital doesn't give you food. That's your friends and family's problem. They don't do it, too bad. Food, sheets, yeah, same with the bed. You pay for the bed, but sheets are your problem. It's a little bit different mindset. So. But he's praise the Lord, he's out of the hospital. He has a cast on one arm, and the other maybe wrapped up just a touch. But finally got him out. I think eight or nine days total in the hospital for a broken arm. Amazing. because there was good food, and someone forgot to write NPO on his forehead at midnight, and the next morning he would eat. And after a couple days, George said, "If you know you're not supposed to eat tomorrow morning, if you eat tomorrow morning, I'm not coming back with any more food." He got his anesthesia. He got his bone set. So that's just one of those good news stories. It's kind of the things going on with the program there at the house. In March, Jenny, that leads the girls group, is now Mrs. George. Belle started helping with a beginning church not too far away from us, a little further to the west. And him and George are now leading a group of 15 kids there. They average about 15 a week at that church. I'm still working with a community organization 15 miles up the road to the east. That's about an hour trip, and that's led into a Bible study. We do weekly Bible study on Tuesday mornings, and then work with a kids group. I teach some English classes. I'm not qualified to teach English. You may have gathered that, but we get to do some English and some Bible lessons. So that's kind of, things are just growing and growing. I got thinking about it, and as the pastor said, as Susanna was praying this morning, really, it's we want salvation. It's not about numbers. It's about numbers saved. But in terms of what God's been doing, He's allowed things to grow. When I started thinking about it, it's really 80 to 100, maybe some weeks over 100 people that are hearing the word every week. So it's growing and growing. And if you had told me that God had kids ministry in mind, I'm like, you're crazy. No, no. But as I see the animals, the animals come, I see them for careless, preventable reasons. And it's pretty obvious that the practical solutions aren't going to come in cheap suture or subsidized splint materials. It's neighbors helping neighbors, caring about creation and caring about their neighbor. One of the things we see, goats will eat plastic bags, especially plastic food bags. They eat a whole bunch of them. They're hungry. They got some salt, especially if they have salt and traces deep fryer oil on them. And all these bags bunch up in the stomach and cause a chronic blockage. It doesn't generally kill them acutely. They just waste away and eventually die of chronic intestinal blockages. So we're able to do some surgeries out. We do some now in public places, purposely pick us, either a school or kids group or just an intersection, and do it as more of an educational thing. Yes, we helped that goat that day, but people really kind of gasp when they see, all that came out of that goat? Yeah, this is what throwing your garbage on the ground does, and allowing your goat to wander and not giving it food. That's kind of what it does. But then we're able to tie that in with the Word and build relationships that way. You know, when you move around the countryside, you see crosses everywhere, concrete or iron crosses. But they're not Christian crosses. They represent intersections of the so-called spirit world and this world. Places where things will be brought and sacrificed. Voodoo is very present everywhere in Haiti, especially in the Artibonite. You're never far away from it. And don't let anybody kid you that it's just some cute cultural tradition. It's not. It's obtaining power by manipulating demons for one's immediate advantage. There's always a deal being made, and the price comes later. It's about what advantage is there now. I'll worry about the price later. And that's, just seeing God give the opportunity for young believers to speak truth into some of those situations. They come up with examples counter to voodoo all the time that I wouldn't have a clue, but they're able to tie it into the kids. And it's not stuff that's out there or unfamiliar to the kids. It's just been a joy to watch that. Many of the kids in the program come more than we haven't done a census in a little bit, but at one point more than half of them have no father at home. And when it comes to spiritual fathers, probably even less. But so it's really a blessing to see the mentorship that goes on there. Belle and George have been a blessing watching them grow and mature in their faith. One's a preacher, one's a teacher, for sure. Your relationships on the soccer field, things that we find out about that happen during the week between soccer games, give an opportunity to practice forgiveness, practice apologies and forgiveness. So it's just been a blessing. God's really been at work. And you can focus on the bad, but we need to look for the good. And sometimes if we look around with our own eyes, it doesn't look all that great. In 2 Kings 6, 15 and 17, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Do not be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You have a plan, and you have a purpose, and he has a plan. Send a guy to a foreign land. Take away my task list of, okay, these are how many pregnancy checks you got to get done by the end of the day so you can go home. Put a language barrier in place. Some days you get into a situation like that, some days you're going to question your purpose. Yeah. Sure. And if our purpose isn't clear, what he's shown me, I'm a little hard-headed. What he's shown me is dig a little deeper into the Word.
Yeah.
Consider a little more, reflect a little bit more on the love of Christ and choosing his love that drove him to choose the cross for us. Pray that he'll open our eyes, put your man on, be strong and courageous, and share his love with someone. Because he's given the authority that he has, he's given to us to change the world.
Amen.
You know, a few nights ago, Lisa dreamed that apparently she had a dream there was 200 kids coming to our house. I don't know if that's prophetic or not. But I do know we're grateful for your prayers. Your prayers for us, for our children, Ethan and Lexi, for Belle and George, and Jenny, Odie Lawn, who's the leader of the community organization I work with, and certainly for all the Haitian people, but I think especially both in Haiti and here, pray for the believers. Pray for believers. So I'm happy to talk more later. I've probably overrun my time, but thank you.